Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 12:47 p.m. And today is, and that's Pacific Summer Time. And today is September 20th. Well, the Dow Jones today broke out to a new all-time high, and this has been a pretty impressive rally over the last three sessions. So, this is the last of the Wall Street indices, the primary ones at least, that had yet to break out, and it has just done so. So this does suggest that the period of consolidation that had begun back in January is over. Well, that is also that confirms that we have a Dow bull market signal, because the transportation index is also pretty close to an all-time high. It had already broken out. So you've got the Dow and the transport, the Dow industrials and transports breaking out. That's a Dow theory buy signal. The Russell 2000 has been leading on the upside, and it has been pausing over the last few sessions, but it's still within striking distance of its all-time high. The NASDAQ has also paused a little bit in here, but it has firmed, and most particularly it has held the progression of higher reaction lows. It was touch and go back on Monday whether there was going to be follow through on the downside, and there has not been follow through on the downside. So that sequence of higher reaction lows remains intact, and as long as that's the case, well, the complacency of the bulls is going to be unshaken. And then, of course, we have the S&P 500, which also broke out in pretty emphatic fashion to new all-time highs in here today. Well, part of the reason for this renewal of bullish sentiment is because China announced that they're going to reduce the tariffs on a number of their imports. So depending on how one wants to frame that, either they are taking active measures to improve their image internationally, or they are attempting to be somewhat more conciliatory in terms of their rhetoric with the USA. But the market has certainly taken that as a bullish outcome. And considering that a lot of people have been worried about the impact of trade tensions, then there is the whole, at least this holds out the prospect that some of those tensions may be relieved over the course of the next few months. So Wall Street definitely doing better here and breaking out in no uncertain terms. The Nikkei was also in positive territory in here today, and this was a substantial breakout at the beginning of the week, and it has so far held the advance. So then you have the Topix, which has rallied impressively this week to get right up to the upper side of its range. But more important than either of those really is the second section. And the second section index has been a reliable lead indicator for the market for years, and it has now bounced from the 7,000 area to confirm support, and that's rather positive. The Topix Banks Index has rallied as well, and it's now pressuring its progression of lower rally highs that have been in evidence since the beginning of this year. It has confirmed at least near-term support at the lower side of this more than year-and-a-half-long range. But if we can get upside follow-through next week, then it will have broken the downtrend, and that will reignite, I think, the argument that the banks can do better here. So Japan has got a number of bullish factors behind it, but among the most important, in my view at least, is that the Bank of Japan is still engaged in quantitative easing and actively buying shares. You don't have the kind of political instability in Japan that you have elsewhere. You have the economy that's doing rather well, and amid high participation rates and low unemployment, and then you have the fact that the economy is still expanding. And so far, Japan has been able to weather the higher oil price reasonably well, and it hasn't been particularly caught up in the trade wars either. So all of those factors are contributing to a more bullish environment for Japanese equities. But then you have the additional fact that and it is, I think, worth highlighting, that when, for example, we look at the Nikkei and its valuations, its PE ratio is around 16. The Topix index is a bit lower than that. It's more like 14. When we look at the Euro Stoxx index, it's 16, and the S&P 500 is somewhere in the early, in the low 20s, around 21.2. So Japan enjoys a valuation discount. So and then is also benefiting from quantitative easing. Well, nobody was particularly interested in that as long as the dollar was surging higher. That was bolstering the attraction of U.S. Assets, and not just stocks but also bonds. Well, when we look at the dollar index, it has now broken its progression of higher reaction lows with today's decline, and it is now testing the region of the trend mean. Well, this is now the do or die moment. Either the dollar is going to rally within the next couple of sessions, or we're going to have a more meaningful pullback, and there is a substantial room for it to fall considering how much it had rallied in the middle part of this year. So it really is do or die here. When we look at the euro, then it has now rallied to break the progression of lower rally highs. It's approximating the region of the trend mean. So if the euro is going to continue to rally, we'll need to see upside follow through, but that is looking like a reasonably likely prospect. Well, the pound has been resurgent, and it is now approximating the region of the trend mean, but it has clearly broken the downward bias evidence since April. So while somewhat overbought in the short term, the most likely scenario now is that even if we were to get a consolidation, that it would probably find support somewhere around the 130 area. So that's rather important. And when we look at the pound versus the euro, well, the 110 area has represented support on three occasions now since 2016, and it also represented support back in 2009, 10, and 11. And this looks like base formation development, considering just how acute the decline was for the pound against the euro from the peak in 2015 to the low in 2016. Then it's reasonable here that we can anticipate support starting to come through. And I think there's a strong likelihood that there is going to be a deal. It's probably going to, any deal that the UK makes with the EU is probably going to be membership in all but name. Quite whether that is going to muster the support required to pass a vote in Parliament is very much open to question, but the market, I think, is willing to anticipate that the Conservatives would rather pass an unpalatable bill than hand the potential for or to invite the potential for Labour to take over as the party in government. So I think that is what the market is starting to bet for when the pound is rallying from the 110 area. Well, it was a generally positive day right across stock markets. So Europe has bounced from the lower side of its range. It's been up on consecutive days now for nearly 10 sessions. And now it's approaching its progression of lower rally highs for the year and the region of the trend mean. So again, this is the big level. And if we can see it push above here, well, then that is going to confirm more than just short-term support around the lower side of its more than year-long range. Then the DAX index is very similar. There has been a rivetingly consistent progression of lower rally highs, and it is now coming back up to test those. And the MDAX, which has been the clear outperformer in Germany, is right in the region of the trend mean and did firm somewhat in here today. So that has continued to hold the progression of higher reaction lows, and as long as it is doing that, well, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. So far, it's been ranging with a mild upward bias for most of this year. There have been a number of occasions in which it's done this in the course of this 10-year advance, so this is a rather interesting level to keep an eye on it. Then when we look at what's going on in Italy, the government is in the process of putting its budget together. The short-term oversold condition relative to the MA is being unwound. Again, this is another index where there is still a progression of lower rally highs. So generally speaking, when we think about the consistency of trends, well, the consolidation that we saw in Japan has been much more consistent than what we've seen in Europe. Europe has got some significant issues, not least it's the Brexit negotiations, the rise of populism, not just in Italy, but in more than half of the countries that comprise the Eurozone. Then you have exposure to Turkey, exposure to Italy, and then there are a significant number of the Spanish banks. They've got exposure to Latin America, where you have problems in Argentina, Venezuela, Brazil. So these are all challenges for Europe. Then, of course, it is highly dependent on the export market. Well, easing tensions on the trade front should be good for Europe. That is one of the, I think, the easiest bullish cases to make. And now the question is, will they be able to manage the wherewithal to return to a position of outperformance? Well, with Wall Street breaking on the upside, people will start to be looking for things that represent value. Both Japan and Europe do represent value, so they should do better from here. Then, when we look at some of the currencies that have pulled back most aggressively, well, the Argentine peso has at least stabilized around 40. And, well, at 60% interest rates, even if inflation is at 40%, your money doubles pretty quickly when it's on a seven-day basis. The Turkish lira has posted a higher reaction low and continues to rally from the 7 level versus the dollar. Well, I think it's worth taking a look at some of the related ETFs. For example, the Turkish ETF has bounced from the 1,000-point level, and it has a very wide overextension relative to the trend mean. It could rally by almost 50% and still only be closing that overextension. If we look at the Argentine ETF, then, and I couldn't quite remember the ticker, well, the Merval index has been doing rather well, and the global MSCI ETF, Argentina ETF, has rallied in pretty emphatic fashion this week. So there is certainly the prospect for it to unwind its oversold condition relative to the trend mean at a minimum. The Brazilian real has also stabilized around the lows seen back in 2016. And it was in positive territory again in here today. Brazil has so far not been raising interest rates in nearly the same kind of aggressive manner that Argentina and Turkey have been doing. But the currency has been more stable, and this is an important area of support. But a lot of what I think is the outlook for the real is going to hinge on is the results of the election. And the sentiment is turning towards the more right-wing candidate winning, so that should be more positive for the currency rather than what people in Brazil are being presented with is not a particularly appetizing choice. It's either going to be someone on the fringes of the right wing or the fringes of the left wing, and the market generally tends to respond better to right-wing candidates. So what we're certainly seeing is some demand coming back in for emerging market currencies. But I think it is also important to highlight that it is the smaller cap markets are generally tending to do better. So, for example, the Thai baht had fallen less, but it's rallying more. And it is now rallying through the region of the trend mean. And the stock market index is pushing back above the trend mean as well. So it's looking increasingly likely that it is the smaller ASEAN markets are going to be those that are going to exhibit relative strength here, despite the near-term prospect of for mean reversion rallies in some of the more troubled markets. The pullback that we've seen so far in places like Thailand or Vietnam is being reversed, and the Vietnamese market is back above its trend mean as well. The Malaysian market as well has been firming from just above the region of the trend mean. It's not all good news. For example, the Filipino market, it's still it's obviously had the challenges from being a major typhoon strike and loss of life from landslides, but then the Filipino peso has been trending lower, not just on a short-term basis, but for years already. And now the stock market index has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean. It's coming right back down to the lows, and it's going to have to bounce pretty emphatically to question the medium-term downward bias. It's also worth, I think, revisiting the Indonesian market here, because it has been reasonably stable over the last few months, but it is still trading below the trend mean. It needs to be able to demonstrate that it can push up and away from this 6,000 level. And the Indonesian rupiah has not rallied by a meaningful degree here. It is right in the region of the lows seen back in 2015, and it was in mildly positive territory in here today, but there's been certainly nothing in the way of clear upward dynamics in favor of the rupiah to really confirm that we're getting a return to demand dominance. Well, when we think about what's going on in China, then the markets there have begun to find support, and the commodity markets are beginning to respond, and the Aussie dollar was again in positive territory today. This is the most impressive rally on a weekly basis we've seen nearly all year. Well, that's holding out the prospect for a reversion back up towards the mean. The ASX, whoops, that's not going to work. The ASX 200 has at least paused in the region of the trend mean. It has come right back down to test the upper side of that underlying trading range. This is about where it needs to find support if the benefit of the doubt is going to be given to the upside, and so far it has at least paused around this level. The resources sector is starting to rally as well, and it has bounced now from the region of the trend mean. It's been more consistent on the upside than the FTSE 350 mining index for the simple reason that the Aussie dollar has been weaker. But even here, the FTSE 350 mining index is now almost it's almost broken the progression of lower rally highs since that peak back in the middle of the year. But it needs to push above the trend mean to really I think confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. Copper prices have they enjoyed a really quite a large upward dynamic earlier this week, and that is holding out the prospect now that we're in a process of mean reversion. It has rallied enough in here today to break the progression of lower rally highs. So that is a low of at least near-term, potentially medium-term significance, but certainly the $2.60 area absolutely has to hold, and I think a lot of the bulls would be a lot more happy if it was trading above the trend mean rather than unwinding an oversold condition relative to it. And then platinum prices have rallied impressively in here today. Now they have crossed the midpoint danger line for the trading range that persisted between July and mid-August. That's holding out the prospect that at least a move up towards the $850 area is looking likely. There's certainly potential that there are stops in that area. But when we look at it on a weekly basis, the action that we've seen this week is quite clearly different. It is, and I think we give the benefit of the doubt to the most recent upward dynamic. That's certainly holding out the prospect that we're going to see a reversion back up towards the mean and back up to test these lows. And the moving averages pretty much coinciding with that $900 area, which had been an area of support all the way through 2017. So there is, I think, there are at least tentative signs that the worst of the selling pressure is now passed in platinum. But what I found interesting in here today was that gold was pretty much inert, despite the fact that the dollar was weaker against not just the euro but a whole host of other currencies. Gold only rallied by about $3. But that doesn't mean it can't rally more. That gold has still got to prove that it can break up and away from this $1,200 area. But with platinum doing that, I think that that's a reasonable lead indicator. Platinum is a much smaller market than gold. It tends to be more sensitive to flow. And that, I think, holds out the prospect that gold will be able to sustain a move up and away from this $1,200 area. Silver prices are still trading with a $14 handle. And they were a little bit more positive in here today, but still have not broken up out of this range. You still have this staircase sequence downtrend. But I think if the dollar does, and I think when we look at the outlook for the dollar, the fact that it is at an area of potential support against the euro is a big consideration. If it fails at this level, well, I think that is going to be a green light for the precious metals, considering that the strength of the dollar had been such a headwind, then the reverse should also apply. And the other market that is at an important area of potential support are US treasuries. Treasuries have been down on almost consecutive days. There is a short-term oversold condition evident. It is testing the region of the low back in May, and I think that there is scope here for some steadying. When we look at the medium term trend, well, this is a staircase sequence downtrend as well, and the most likely scenario over the medium term is that we are going to see lower prices. But the bigger question is whether that's going to happen right now. So I think that this is a rather interesting level for US Treasuries. When we look at the yield, it has been able to sustain the move above 3% so far, but it hasn't quite been able to take out the highs that we saw back in April. So I think it is still on the cards that this breakout will not hold. And that, I think, is one of the big questions. If ranges are explosions waiting to happen, if the breakout is sustained, then the chances of the yield going up to 3.5% in pretty short order is, I think, has to be the base case. That's going to represent a significant issue for relative valuations. If you can get 3.5% on a risk-free 10-year, then that's eventually going to start to have an impact on the way that people view other risk assets. So what happens right now in terms of the treasury yield, I think, is going to have a longer term impact. When we look at some of the other potential benchmarks, the 30-year has got right up to test the upper side of its 3-year range, but it has not broken out. In fact, the yield was in mildly negative territory in here today. And when we look at the 10-year tips, well, there is no additional supply of tips. So the fact that the yield there is coming right up to test the upper side of this 5-year range, if that does break out, well, that's going to be a vote by the market that they do believe that inflation is going to become an issue. And the fact that there is no additional supply means that you're getting an unadulterated view of the market rather than the treasury market specifically, which has got so many competing influences because of this massive additional supply that is coming into the market over the course of the next few months and years. On the balance of probabilities is that we are going to have higher yields simply because there is so much additional supply. So when we look at the breakouts that we're seeing on Wall Street, I think it is important to realize that we are in the third psychological perception stage of this medium-term bull market. Now, markets are endlessly fractal, so when I think about a medium-term bull market, I'm really considering the trend up from the lows in 2008 and 2009. We're also in a secular bull market that probably won't climax until sometime in the mid-2030s. That suggests that when we do get a more sizable pullback, it's going to represent a very important buying opportunity from the perspective of a long-term investor. But against that, there is also the possibility that we do get acceleration first. And that's, I think, one of the perhaps the more likely scenarios right now, that we are at a point where markets can accelerate on the upside. And then, well, it's generally speaking, it's in accelerations where people make the most money fastest. So we have to at least be open to that possibility. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.